On this Season 4 series of teaching, you'll come to know the number one reason why many are not experiencing the abundant life that Christ came to bring. A truth that will remove all condemnation, guilt, and shame, positioning you to receive all the benefits of this wealthy kingdom of God that we are part of, and causing the blessings of God to manifest in your life and liberating the manifested sons of God to manifest all over the earth. Stay tuned.
Life was bitter to the core. There was nothing to live for until love came.
My name is Harold J. Perkins, and at the age of 17, I was sitting in my house getting high with about 10 other guys. At the time, I didn't believe in God. Then all of a sudden, I had an out-of-body experience, and I was lifted above the room. I saw myself sitting in the chair. Then I heard, "Is this all you're going to do for the rest of your life?" After that, I got up and I put those guys out and I cried out to Jesus Christ. He came into my life with liberty and purpose. Then I ran into religion. And it has taken me over 40 years to navigate through religion to fully understand what came in me that day. This podcast is to help put you on a faster track than it took me to get through religion and experience life, liberty, and purpose on a higher level. So get ready. We're about to start a revolution. Again, welcome. I'm excited about getting into this series of teaching. I'm going to start with the scripture that reveals God's heart for us. 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." Now, that's saying a lot. First, he said, prosper. Prosper in what? In whatever you do. God wants you to prosper in whatever you do. Next, he said to be in health. So God does not want us sick at all. Not even a headache. I know of a man who believed this and lived 50 years without even having a headache. And finally, the verse says, even as your soul prospers. Our soul is made up of our mind, will, and emotions. So God does not want us in mental depression. If our will is to prosper, that says to me that God wants to give us the desires of our heart because that's what we will to have. And finally, He does not want us emotionally unstable with our emotions all over the place. If all that I said is the will of God for us as believers in Jesus Christ, what stops us from walking in this and receiving this from God? Well, first, it starts with knowing this is the will of God for you. The next thing is knowing how to receive it. Everything in the kingdom of God is received by faith. And faith is believing what God has said as if you already had it before it shows up. You have it because God said it's yours and he cannot lie. And if you keep saying what he has said, it will show up. Most things that we receive from God show up over time, which means you have to continue to believe over time. And you have to continue to believe when you have contradictions in front of you saying it's not so. And this is where Satan gets involved to do everything he can to stop you from continuing to believe. And the number one thing he brings to hinder your faith is condemnation. And sadly, a lot of the condemnation he uses, you hear at church. Because Satan has hid something from the church that's all over the Bible, but religious minds can't see it because it does not line up with what they've been taught. I, too, was blinded to this until about 12 or 13 years ago. And for about 7 of those years, the Lord held me back studying this and spending time with him in prayer about 8 hours a day, many of those days, until I got this and I could back it up with scriptures from the Bible and teach it to those who want to know the truth and not religion. Then a few years ago, I had another encounter with the Lord and he said, the problem with his people is with the flesh and the unrenewed mind, and it's not being taught properly, and he's going to open a door for me to teach it. Now, throughout the episodes, I've taught some of this, but now I'm going to get deeper and more in depth with it, because this is the main thing that stops the benefits of the kingdom from showing up in most believers' lives. They are condemned about something that Jesus has already removed. and their condemnation makes them feel ashamed and unworthy, and it chokes their faith, and the end result is that they don't see the benefits of the kingdom show up, the benefits that Jesus died to make available. God did something marvelous in you when you received his son Jesus, so marvelous that a religious mind can't believe it. But I'm going to show you from the Bible how free you are, how powerful you are. So powerful that sin, death, and Satan can't stop you when you know the truth. I'm going to start by slapping religion in the face right away. Now, don't get offended, because it's Satan who's behind religion, not people. He uses people, but it's him. That's him I'm slapping. Let's start with Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Here's what it says. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, that's all that the verse says in the original. But the King James added this: who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's not in the original. In the original, here's what it says. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, period. That's all the verse says. Now, we have to ask the question, why is there no condemnation to those in Christ? To be condemned, you would have to be guilty of something. If there is no condemnation now that I'm in Christ, then I am never guilty of anything as far as God sees me now that I'm in Christ. How is this possible? I'm never guilty before God? How? Well, before we go there, let's look at a natural example of how someone cannot be guilty of something, yet another person is guilty for doing the same thing. In the United States, we have speed limits on how fast we can drive. If you're driving 100 miles an hour on any highway in the U.S. and you're pulled over and given a ticket, you're guilty of driving too fast. Now, if you go over to Germany and drive on the Autobahn, in certain sections there is no speed limit. So driving the same speed in that section, 100 miles an hour, the speed limit has been removed. So you can never be guilty of driving too fast. God did the same thing in the spirit about sin when he put you in Christ. It's just like being transported from the United States, where you were doing 100 miles an hour and was guilty of breaking the law, to the Autobahn in Germany, where there is no law. Therefore, you're not guilty of doing the same thing because of where you are. We are now in Christ. Now, let's see what the Bible has to say. One thing for me to say it, let's back it up with the Bible. I'm going to Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened or made alive together with him, with Christ, having forgiven you all trespasses, that's your sins, verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which is the law, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, and he nailed it to the cross, which means that it died when Christ died. Okay, now verse 13 says that we were dead in our sins, and we know that Jesus died in our place for our sins. And it says that we were quickened, made alive, and our trespasses were forgiven. And most of the church believes this, but they also believe that you can sin after you have received Christ. But the scriptures I'll show you going forward say the opposite of that. Because when we received Jesus, we were supernaturally transported to the Autobahn in Christ, where there is no law. Look at verse 14 and what it says. It says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which is the law, and he nailed it to the cross, and it died with Christ concerning those who are in Christ. Now, the law is still in effect for those who are not in Christ, just like the speed limit is still in effect in the United States. We still have a law. But in Christ, we don't. Let's listen to what the Bible says. I'm in Galatians chapter 3, verse 19. Wherefore then serve the law? it was added because of transgressions, until the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hands of a mediator. Notice it says, that the law was added because of transgressions until, which means there was a limit, until the seed should come. Now in verse 16 of this same chapter, it says that the seed is Jesus Christ. So has Jesus come? Yes, he has. Well, we just read then that the law was until he came, until Jesus came. Therefore, there is no more law. Let's go on. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 through 25. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. The Bible just said that we are no longer under the law, under the schoolmaster, now that we are in Christ. I'm not saying this. The Bible's saying this. Let's give you some more scriptures so you can understand. I'm not pulling out one isolated scripture. I'm covering several scriptures that are saying the same thing. I'm in Romans chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. Here's what it says. For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise is made of none effect, because the law works wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. You hear that last part again? For where no law is, there is no transgression. I didn't say that. The Bible says where no law is, there is no transgression, no sin. And we already read several scriptures that said those in Christ are not under the law. Now let's continue. I'm in Romans chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. I'm reading the Bible. It says, sin is not imputed when there is no law. This is why there is no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus. The sin speed limit has been removed. Why would you be condemned about something you can no longer do? You cannot sin in Christ because the law has been removed. Does the Bible say this? It sure does. Listen to 1 John chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, this is not First Herald. This is 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. Let me read it again. He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So the works of the devil is sin. So it's saying he destroyed it. Verse 9, how did he do it? Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, one reason we know he can't sin is because there is no law. We've read that. Several scriptures said that. The other reason he can't sin is because he received the seed of God. And the question we have to ask is this: can God sin? Of course not. Didn't it say we received the seed of God? And did not God say that a seed would only produce after its kind? So if we received the seed of God that has no sin in it, then out of our spirit, we cannot produce sin because a seed can only produce after its kind. And there's no sin in the seed that we receive from God. This is the Bible. This is the truth. And because many people can't understand that God has liberated to this degree, and they feel that they have to say something to control you to keep from letting your flesh govern you, they're not telling you what the Bible says. So with what I just said, why would you be condemned about something you can't do? And if you live without condemnation, you will see the things of the kingdom manifest in your life. You will know your authority over Satan will work because you have no shame and guilt. Jesus said, when you know the truth, that it will set you free. The truth is that if you have been born of God, you, the spirit you, wants to do good things only. All of the bad and evil things are coming from your body, which is not you. It's the house that you live in. And through the power of God in your spirit and the renewing of your mind to line up with the truth that's in your spirit, you will dominate over your body. This is not a license to sin, because you can't sin anyway based on what I've just covered. This is pulling the rug from under Satan, who has used religious teaching to stop the kingdom of God from manifesting. Jesus took care of the sin problem, and we can now rule over sin and death that's in our bodies. Listen to the Bible. I'm in Romans chapter 6, verses 6 through 13. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Who is the old man? The old spirit man. That the body of sin might be destroyed. That henceforth we should not serve sin. Notice he said the body of sin might be destroyed. So he's telling us what the problem is. Verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he lives unto God. If he died unto sin once, and we received him, then we died unto sin once as well. Verse 11. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal bodies, not your spirit. He's telling you, the spirit man, to not let sin reign in your mortal bodies. It goes on to say that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Ah, look where the lust is coming from. He's calling your body an it, not you. It's an it. Verse 13. Neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteous unto sin, the members are your body, but yield yourself unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Now, I'll deal with the latter part of this later about being under grace. You'll see then why we don't need to have a written law anymore. God is in us to now write on our hearts from within. But here's what I want to deal with here. It's clearly telling us the problem of sin is in our bodies. You know, if I had known this when I first came to know Christ, I would have seen the kingdom of God manifest in my life in a greater way, because I would have continued to expect God's blessings to show up instead of living in condemnation. God was trying to get this across to me decades ago, but the religious teaching I was hearing got in the way. And one time when I was praying and feeling condemned, God spoke to me in an angry tone and said, "You're not in my presence because of what you have done or not done. You're in my presence because of what my son has done for you." And it broke me down. I started weeping. This is the love of God. He has set us free and empowered us to live like a child of God. And I'll cover going forward that he will be merciful to the deeds of our flesh. It takes time to master your body and put it to death. But if you think it's you where these emotions, these things, these evil and lustful things are coming from. You don't want to kill yourself. But if you know the truth, then you can equip yourself and exercise your authority in putting the flesh under. You know, the Bible says resist the devil, but it says to crucify the flesh. So you tell me where the biggest challenge is coming from. It didn't tell you to kill the devil. It said resist him, which means that you can. But it says that flesh, don't you trust it? Crucify that. This is why the Apostle Paul said, I put my body under. And in another place, he said, I keep it under. The man who God used to write most of the New Testament knew where the problem was. His flesh and unrenewed mind to the truth. You can be free and empowered and not know it and live as a slave with no power. If you stay with me throughout this series of teaching, you will be set free and empowered in a way that the benefits of the kingdom of God will begin to show up in your life in a greater way. And you'll fall deeper in love with your God as you see what he really did through his son, Jesus Christ. When I first saw this, it was hard to hold back my tears. And it didn't make me want to just go and let my flesh go wild. It made me want to live in a way to show my gratitude for what my Lord has truly done for me. Who loves like this? Only God and those who know the truth and have decided to let God love through them like this. There was a whole lot more of truth coming to support what I'm saying, Bible truth. Stay with me in the episodes ahead. Let me say right here, if you don't know our living Savior, Jesus Christ, you can get to know him now. Pray this prayer with me. Say, God, I believe that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sins. Jesus, I accept you into my life as my Lord and my Savior. Help me to live this life. Thank you. That's it. It's that simple. If you believe what you just prayed, he has come in. Start reading the Bible for yourself. You can start in the book of St. John and in the book of Romans, and God will begin to show you his purpose for your life, and he'll begin to show himself unto you. Okay. We'll see you on the next episode.